Okay, we're going to take our next step in this whole fan follower, believer kind of thing in this discipleship series, and we're going to go into why God gave us the Bible. How do we use the Bible? How do you study the Bible? That's sort of the significance of the Bible, because at the end of the day, if we're called to be disciples, which we are, there is a cost to discipleship. But in order to be disciples, we have to know the Word of God. We can't follow something that we don't know. We're also called as disciples to create, to make other disciples. We're supposed to teach them, it says, remember the Great Commission, we're supposed to teach them all of Jesus' teachings as well, so that they might follow him also. And we can't be teachers of it if we don't know it either. So we need it to follow, and we need it to be able to lead others to follow. We've got to be in the Word of God. We've got to absorb it in such a way, on such a regular basis, that it's a part of our life, an everyday part of our life. Now, I want to look at some reasons why we don't look at the Bible, or bad reasons to study the Bible as well. There is some bad ways. But 1 Peter chapter 2 says it this way. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I was thinking of this, crave pure spiritual milk. We have a little girl, India, she's 10 months old, and it's amazing when she sees the bottle come into the room. Her reaction is physical. I mean, she shakes, she gets so excited. I mean, she gets in her hands, and you'd think the reaction is incredible to seeing and getting that bottle, that nourishment, that food. And that's why this passage is used in the way it is, with this terminology, like newborn babies. There's a naturalness to them drawing to that, knowing they need that for food, knowing they need that for survival. That's the way we're to approach the Word of God. To naturally be drawn to it. There's nothing more natural for a believer, for a Christian, than being in the Word of God. We need to crave it like spiritual milk. And as disciples, we must know it like that. We have to be in the Word. We have to know the Word. As a newborn baby depends on it, counts on it, relies on it, so must we count on, rely on the Word of God in our lives. The Bible has impacted millions of people. Thousands of years. And the truth is, his plan was it would impact you and I as well. That we would be in his Word in such a way that it would change our lives. Not just little decisions or this or that, but everything that we do ought to revolve around what does God's Word say about that? What would he have for us in this situation? How would he want us to respond? There's inserts in your bulletins if you'd like to follow along and fill in the blanks, or at least pretend and humor me. The Bible, though, is spoken a lot of times as the Word of God. Now, pause for a second and think about that. The Word of God. We should stand in awe of that. That concept should blow our mind that we have the Word of God in front of us. How would you react if a voice from heaven, and you're walking down the road, and you heard a voice from heaven give you some direction or guidance? Once you woke up, you change your pants. It would be huge, wouldn't it? And that's how we need to look at the Bible when we look at it. The same reverence, because it's the Word of God literally speaking to us. We get it from heaven. We do get spoken to from heaven, right in his Word, every time we get into it. What an amazing concept. We need to think differently about the Word of God. Think about how we need it, what it does for us, how it can change us. If we really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then it should be much more than a book that we're familiar with. It should be a book that changes our lives and ought to shape every aspect of our existence. All of our decisions ought to be funneled through the Word. If God is the designer and creator of this world, which the Bible says that he is, if he's the designer and creator of this world, if he made you and I, and he placed us in this world, who better to go to than for how we ought to be, how we ought to live, who we ought to follow, than his Word. The designer and the creator of all that exists. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, talks a lot about that. He was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and that was Jesus Christ. So we have the Word in written form, we have the Word in the example of Christ. there's some ways in which we need to be careful not to do that. So we have to ask ourselves, why do we study the Bible? Maybe it'll click. It shouldn't be out of guilt. This is how a lot of people study the Bible. Many Christians fall into this pattern. It's one of those things, you know, I got to do it. You know, it's kind of like coming to church and tithing and don't swear, you know, all these, you have this list of things, you know, the checklist. We shouldn't do it out of guilt. We should do it because we love Him and we want to know Him more. We want to draw closer to Him and be the kind of people that He created us to be. Guilt is not the reason for us to do it. Some do it looking for arguments against other perspectives, don't they? You know, my wife all the time, I go to seek out a scripture that might fit for what she's doing. I do that with my kids. We like to hunt and peck through there and get those nuggets and use them where they're inappropriately, you know, out of context, but they fit our argument. Guilt should never be the reason, though, why we use the Bible, why we study the Bible. Many people are motivated by guilt. The problem is this: once we guilt ourselves into this kind of a legalism kind of thing, and then we set some kind of a standard on there, like you need to read X chapters a day, and then when you don't read X chapters a day, then you feel bad, right? God never said read X chapters a day. That's a man-made kind of thing. So when we start setting some kind of a parameter like that, God says meditate on my word, be in my word, know my word. But He doesn't have a set thing. The problem is then once we have that rule for us that we read three chapters every day or whatever, then when the next guy doesn't read three chapters, he's not a good Christian. And we start to, it's a trickle-down effect with our attitude, our motivation, because at the end of the day, that's what's most important about reading the Bible is our motivation. Why do we do it? Not to get it done, not to check it out, not because we have to. Not so I get better than the guy down the road who doesn't read it at all, or only reads one chapter, and I do three. Our motivation for reading the Bible has to be pure, and it has to be acceptable to God, and that's to learn about Him and to come to know Him more. The second reason why we shouldn't read the Bible is status. There are those that read the Bible because there is a certain air of, you know, people look up sometimes to people who know the Word really well. I mean, perhaps you've seen people like that, and they, you know, they look up to them, they think it's a big deal, you know, and it should be. Knowing the Word of God should be a big deal in all of our lives, and they should be looked up to for knowing the Word. But the problem is, knowing 1,000 verses does not make you know Jesus Christ. Being able to quote 1,000 verses does not make you look anything like Him. So we have to be careful. What's our motivation? If our motivation is just for status, because we can win Bibleopoly every time we play it, or we can win, you know, Bible trivia at church every time we do it. If that's your reasons for status, because you're going to be the go-to guy and never get stumped on any scripture, it's the wrong motives. It's the wrong agenda to look for status. So if you find yourself doing that, if you find yourself looking for status or something from your Bible study, reevaluate why you study the Bible, why you're into it. God is pleased when we treasure His Word in our heart, but do you really think He's pleased when we desire to appear intelligent? It's not about us being intelligent. It's not about us getting any glory because we can ramble off this and ramble off that. It's about treasuring His Word in our heart. The world to us, and so therefore we want to know it. It's not about studying the Bible too much because this isn't possible. It's about your motivation. Too often Christians are motivated by status, but we should be motivated by a desire to know God. Chances are you know someone who knows the Bible inside and out. Maybe that's you. Be careful of your motivation for that. It's not evil to know the Bible inside and out. What's your motivation for that? Don't use that knowledge. Don't use that, what God's given you, that intelligence, or don't use that against other people. The third thing is this. It shouldn't be only for teaching material. I find myself guilty of this sometimes. You'll only go to the Word when you know you have a lesson to prepare or a sermon to preach, and you'll get busy that week, or so you'll just simply hunt for, I can be honest with you, I've done this. You hunt for specifically that topic. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. Once again, back to that whole dealing with your wife, or dealing with your kids, or dealing with your friend, or dealing with your mother-in-law. You don't just hunt for a nugget when you want to address somebody. When it's a teaching moment, you want to do. We need to soak in the Word of God. the best place for you and I to go to the Bible, the best reason is my last one here. And it should be because of a desire to know God, a desire to be changed by His Word, and to become better at loving and serving the people around us. This is why we should be in the Word. So that's the why do we study the Bible thing. But now I want to talk about why God gave us the Bible. Because it's really interesting that He would even give us His Word, that He would give us this great love story, which is what it is. It's His love story for you and for me. But there's specific reasons why He gave it, and it's not some of the reasons why you and I might think or that you and I might use. So let's take a look at them. The first reason He gives it to us is to teach us about Himself. From beginning to end, God is the subject matter. It's. I know we live in a world where it's human-centered, self-centered. The Bible is strictly God-centered. It's not about you and I. It's about Him revealing Himself to us, teaching us about Himself. Okay? It's about Him who existed alone in the beginning. And in Revelation, it ends with this same God reigning eternally over all that He created. And all the epistles and the writings between speak of Him, His character, His sovereignty. All speaks to God. Our God in heaven wants us to know certain things about Him. And he wrote it in Scripture for us to study from. People naturally believe that this is a people-centered world, but it's a God-centered world. He created it. This is His world. It says He breathed it into existence. He breathed you into existence. He breathed the Word into existence. So we have to keep that in perspective, those priorities, as we look at it. He is the first and the last. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Not you. Not me. And that's why we go with humility and reverence when we look to His Word. It's through the Bible that we learn about God's power, His justice, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. All the attributes are revealed for us to learn who He is. We should all study to understand God better. We need to search diligently to know the truth about God so that the misconceptions we have about Him can be cleared up. Because this world, many, many believers have these misconceptions about God. I've had many in my life. And until we go to the Word and look and learn, we'll retain those misconceptions because we won't have clarity on it. And yet He clarifies all of it in there for us. The second one is to teach us about ourselves and the world we live in. He created us. He created this world. Who better to go to about how to live in this world, what's going on in this world, why it's going on? And He explains all of it. It's not a mystery. Many of us think that, you know, the Bible only talks about religious tough questions, religious-wise. You know, it doesn't cover sociology or psychology or, you know, any other type of a subject. But the truth is it covers all that stuff. Every bit of it, every tough question that we have in this world is covered scripturally. We just got to go there and we just got to dig it out. We got to look for it. He's given us all those answers because He wants us to have them. Us to know. The God who wrote the Bible is the God who designed the world. Since this is His world, it only makes sense to view the world from His perspective and to live according to His principles. All of this means that as we study the Bible, we should be seeking to understand our God, our world, and ourselves better. Rather than pursuing that emotional experience or trying to accumulate religious knowledge, we should be learning to live in the world that God created and gave us. It's about motive. It's about our agenda. It's about our attitude that we go to it. The third thing is this. He gave us the Word of God to enable us to live godly lives. It says in 2 Peter here, His divine power has given us everything. Not some, not a little bit, not most things. Has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We have every tool in the toolbox, so to speak, that we need to live a godly life. He's equipped us. He hasn't left us hanging out there missing this it's all right in His Word. The problem is we've fallen away from the Word. We don't meditate on the Word daily. We don't study it, treat it like a baby would spiritual milk, drawn to it by nature. We tend to look at it as a burden and it's out of date or it doesn't speak to me or it's a different world today. And none of that is true. It's the only thing that's going to stand the test of time. It says it's not a book that's out of date. It's a book that can help you no matter what's going on in your life, to enable you to lead a godly life. And if we're ever going to study the Bible, leading a godly life ought to be one of the biggest motives we have for doing it. He's called us to be that, to be His ambassadors, to be His servants, to be holy like He's holy. He's called us to do these things. It's up to you and I to do the work from that. 2 Timothy said that this way, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. Everything we need right in His Word. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we serve. I share that passage with you because many of us think that we go to the Bible to study it, to learn from it. But when we get into the Word of God, it studies us. It reads us. And those flaws and those things we struggle with, those things where we're weak at, they come out. That's what's being talked about here. It's a double-edged sword. It kind of hurts sometimes, and that's why we don't go into the Bible, because we know it's going to go against a lifestyle we're choosing, a hobby or a habit that we're doing, because it penetrates deeply. It speaks to you. It reads you. It works on you. If you find yourself reading your Bible and not changing, then you can be sure that you're approaching the Bible in the wrong way. It's not about finding support for our lifestyle or way of thinking. It's about approaching God and letting Him redefine who we are. That's His job. That's what He wants to do. Fourth thing is this. He wants to facilitate a relationship with us. That's why He gave us the Bible. From the very beginning with Adam, He had a relationship with him. He communicated with him. He provided for him. He loved him. He addressed him. And all throughout history, we see that in His Word, that He wants to have a personal relationship with His creation. He wired us to be relational. He made us that way. And He desires to facilitate that relationship through His Word, to show us how He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. God wants you and I to know Him, and He gave us the Scriptures to help us with that. Every relationship requires communication. Everyone requires communication. I talk about this in premarital. Communication is critical to your relationship. It's critical with God, too. He is communicating to you and I through His Word. And we communicate to Him as well through our prayer time, our Bible study, the things that we do when we serve Him. The Bible is His means of sharing His thoughts, His concerns, His desires with us. We're relational because He made us relational. The Bible is God's communication to us. Everything that is written in the Bible is benefit to us. Reading the Bible is listening to the voice of God. Every time we read through the Bible, we strengthen our relationship with Him. We learn more about Him, what our purpose is. Bible study must have intimacy with God as a primary goal. Number five, the Bible is written to exalt Jesus Christ. I mean, that's it. It's all about His Son. It's all about how He's going to come, how He's going to send Him. It's all about Him coming and living in perfect life and dying and deserved death for you and I, being resurrected for you and I. He's going to reign at the end of time for you and I. It's all about exalting Him. The Bible was given to explain how and why Jesus was exalted to the highest place. make sense. Who's this Jesus? Why did he have to go through this or go through that? The Word tells us why. The law was given to show us our sinfulness and our need for Christ. The Old Testament priests and sacrifices point to our need for a greater high priest and the ultimate sacrifice. The Gospels record the loving words and actions of Christ. The epistles, how it's only through Christ on the cross we can be saved from sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. All through the Word. It's about exalting Christ. All of the Word is for that. And you know what? As we get into His Word more and make it a priority because we love Him and we want to know Him, we will learn to exalt Him more too. He will be exalted through us just like the whole Word was created to exalt Him. Sixth one is to prepare us for our God-given mission. You know that God has a plan for you? He has a purpose for creating you. You're not here by accident. You're not here by circumstance, by chance. God created you with a purpose to use you to advance His kingdom, to be His servant, to be an ambassador for Him. It's a beautiful concept to think about that you and I would somehow be worthy, somehow be special enough that God would want to use us. Us in an incredible way, but that's exactly what Scriptures tell us. From the very beginning, God had a mission for humanity. We are here to serve Him. He has saved us so that we can work with Him in His mission to redeem humanity and restore creation. That's what we're created to do. We should view the Bible not as another thing we have to do. We should view the Bible as our marching orders. That's what they are. Rather than coming to the Bible with our own agenda and trying to find verses that support what we'd like to do, and we do that often, don't we? We need to allow the Bible to shape our hopes and dreams. Every time we read the Bible, we should understand our mission a little bit better. Why we're on this earth in the first place. How can we take part in what God is doing in this world? These are questions the Bible answers as long as you and I are ready to listen. That's a lot of times why we don't read them. Because it's a double-edged sword. And it's going to speak to you, and it's going to speak to me. We need to approach the Bible with humility, and that means laying aside our own agendas and look for what God wants to teach us. Every time I find myself and you find yourself struggling to accept something, the Bible says, you found an area, and I found an area in my life that needs to be submitted. Unfortunately, we often waste those opportunities by finding ways to explain away why the Bible's saying that. Listen. No, we make excuses and say, well, he didn't really mean that there. That was for a certain person at that, you know. It wasn't for me. And so we don't take those opportunities when we butt heads with the Bible, when it doesn't coincide and coexist with our life. We don't take those times to realize that we're wrong. His Word isn't wrong. He didn't make a mistake in that part for you so that you can be who you are. He meant that. And it's an area of your life that needs to come under submission to Him. And that is the real test, guys. When you find that your beliefs or lifestyle don't match the Bible, do you assume the Bible's wrong? Every time we find ourselves disagreeing with God, we can be certain that we are the one who needs to change. Every time. It's we that need to change when we're butting heads. God didn't give us the Bible to help us feel better about the way we do things. Sometimes we use it as such, though, don't we? He didn't give it to us for that, to feel good about how we are and how we do things. He gave us the Bible to tell us what He wants us to do, how He wants us to be. And until we read the Bible in order to draw close to God and do what He says, which is an obedience thing, and we're going to get into that next week, we're completely missing the point. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is the beginning of the, we looked at the verses 2 and 3 earlier, but this is the beginning of it. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And then He goes into it. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual knowledge. understand why we understand with you why you study the Bible, why you don't, and get that motivation right, and understand why God gave it to us, and get into it and start partaking. And not X amount of chapters, this and that. Just get in the Word of God. It's His love letter to you. Come to know Him better and His plan that He has created for each and every one of us. Pray with me. Father God, Lord, we love you. I pray, Lord, that you would give us hunger. Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that as we get into your word, that it would speak to us, God. That it would speak to us and that it would satisfy us like a baby longing for that milk to be fed, to be nourished, to survive. May we have those same drawings, Lord, to your word. May it mean that much to us that we recognize the significance of it, that we need it to make it this world. We need it to understand who you want us to be. We need it to help others understand who you've created them to be. Father, may your word mean something to us. May we come to you with humility and recognize that your word is a love letter to each one of us. God, you didn't have to leave it for us, but you chose to. And I thank you for that. Let us not take that for granted. Let us take up our Bibles every day and let us live by them. Let them not just shape the big things in our life, let them shape.